You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sarah Spade, Israel Gutierrez, Harry Lyles Jr. I got a question for you people. Very scientific. Does anybody in the NFL want to clinch a playoff spot? Those L's no. This weekend, size LLs. You can't finish the L, don't try. Smedium always wins. Let's go. I'm going to be honest. You know, I put on some pounds, doctor's order over the last year or so. And these shirts are getting a lot tighter on me. Last time Tom Brady was shut out in a game, does anybody know the opposing quarterback and opposing coach?
Joey Harrington and Nick Saban.
Unbelievable. Everybody knows it. I heard Sedano first. Spain was there. Lyles was in attendance. Israel Gutierrez, thanks for playing. Taysom Hill and Dennis Allen now in answer to that question. Last night, New Orleans defense and the injuries to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, and that tablet. And here, the camera catching this very Brady moment as well. An F-bomb, is that right, to Allen's face? And there was no flag here for taunting, maybe because the ref said there was nothing to taunt about for the Buccaneers in this game. 9 to Squadouche on national TV. Israel Gutierrez, what's the number one takeaway from this?
The number one takeaway just from watching is you got to look at the injuries for the Tampa Bay Bucs. You got to mention, you know, Godwin and Evans and Fournette not being there. And Brady looking like a person who either didn't trust the personnel around him or was just trying to do too much, you know, taking sacks here and rushing here. And it just didn't look like he was comfortable with his receivers. And why should he be? Because they weren't the usual cast of characters. But in the overall, you kind of look at it in the bigger picture and say, well, maybe the Saints do have something here against Tom Brady and the Bucs, having beaten them in the regular season the last couple of years. Maybe there is something that other teams can take out of this. But on the whole, you look at a defense that only allowed 9 points and an offense that's missing its major pieces, and you say, okay, we can't take too much or read too much into this, because even that defense will tell you, hey, if Tom had his normal receivers, we're scoring at least 10 points, even against the Saints, who have us figured out.
So on the whole, you're throwing it out, but we've got news now, and it's not good. Chris Godwin out for the year, torn ACL. Sarah, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm not going with that. The Saints have beat the Bucs in 4 of their last 5 meetings. They would have won that playoff game if Drew Brees hadn't been throwing ducks and the offense had been putting up points. They have this figured out. They rushed 4 or fewer on 92% of dropbacks. They have the perfect personnel to play a super stifling man and not let Brady dink and dunk down the field. Not everyone's going to be able to copy this format, but they've done it repeatedly, and not just in a game where Brady lost a lot of his top weapons. The Bucs are still a great team. We do need to look at how those injuries are going to affect them in the future. Just how serious are those superstars? How long will they be out? They're getting AB back. We just found out Bruce Arians is going to let him back on the squad, so they get some talent back there. But yeah, this Saints team has it figured out. The question is whether other teams can copy it and have the personnel to do so.
George Sedano, you see this as a throwaway game for Tampa or cause for concern?
No, I think it's a throwaway game, Tony, because I don't think enough teams can replicate what New Orleans can do, which is the stingy man-to-man defense that they play in the secondary and getting pressure with 4 up front. If you go back to that game in 2006, and it's why Brady historically has struggled against Miami when he was in New England, was that they could get pressure with 4 up front. Back in that game, he was 12 of 25 for 78 yards, and Jason Taylor had a sack, and Vonnie Holiday had a sack, and Kevin Carter had a sack.
Were you covering this game, Sedano? I was.
There. I was there. Yes, I was absolutely there. So I'm telling you that historically he's had these issues, but again, not that many teams can replicate that. So look, it's been 255 starts since Tom Brady had been shut out. If you go back to that day in December in 2006, I don't think that this is something they need to worry about too much.
All right. Sounds like you're throwing it out. And Harry Lyles, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with George on this. Look, I think Tom Brady's allowed to have one of these. He's had plenty of other really damn good ones in his career. But also, more generally, this is kind of a product of the NFC South. I mean, this is not the AFC East where Tom Brady was kind of just able to roll over teams for 2 decades. in the NFC South, I could tell you very much with that Atlanta behind me, you have some annoying and silly losses that come along in this division, no matter how good your team is. It just so happened that they had to have any skilled player that was worth something get hurt during this game. And even when Gronk and Brady was trying to go out there to him, they couldn't connect, no matter how many times he went after him. So I think this is kind of a fluky loss, but also at the same time, I do want to give New Orleans credit, which is tough for me to do, but they are 3-0 now against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers this year, and they do deserve credit for that.
Sarah, you're shaking your head no about excusing the loss for Brady or excusing his behavior. The F-bomb, the Dennis Allen, the breaking of the tablet.
That's what these people on this panel sound like.
The refs
not punishing him for the taunting. They're like, oh, it's Brady, so we'll just pretend all of these things, despite the facts that you have against Brady and Rodgers, despite the numbers that we have of the Saints against the Bucs, we're ignoring all that. Just say it's
flames,
one game. Come on.
Flames on the side of your face there, Sarah Spade. Sedona, last word after the horn.
Tony, I have less of an issue with him talking trash to Dennis Allen because there's a lot of stuff being said on that field. I do have an issue with him throwing the iPad like my 3-year-old, as you would attest, dealing with a 3-year-old boy, right? Like, in just disgust. At some point, you got to put him in a timeout for that.
Packers 31, Ravens 30. We move on. Here we go again on our own. Going down the only road we've ever known. The question about going for two and the win when it doesn't work. This is the second Ravens loss in 3 weeks on the game-ending two-point conversion. And this is the 300th discussion in which people wildly grab at analytics without being able to define the word. I'd posit it's not even about that, just a failure to define risk and see failed attempts as reality. But Harbaugh himself called this mostly gut yesterday. So he's not saying this is analytics. Gut check, Harry. With the Ravens losing the last three games by a total of 4 points, that's the first time that's happened in NFL history. Is there a misplay here on the game call?
Not at all. And I will come on this show as many times as it takes and defend these calls. Look, people love when people bring up analytics, they automatically think that somebody like John Harbaugh is going to a sheet of paper or a calculator or a smartphone and looking at like a set of numbers and then making the call strictly off of that. Analytics are a complement or a supplement to what is in front of you. And John Harbaugh, whether it was yesterday or the last time he had to make a decision like this, made the decision with the analytics in mind, but also with what was in front of him. His team was shorthanded. When your team is shorthanded, especially when you're going up against a quarter of Aaron Rodgers' magnitude, you try to win the game when you have a chance to. Now, obviously, yes, the Packers had time and a timeout that was going to be after that, even if they made it. But in both instances, I think you like to take your chances there to try to win the game when you are shorthanded, when you probably shouldn't be in the game in the first place.
George Sedano, how do you see these last second calls here from John Harbaugh?
He's aggressive. By the way, he doesn't listen to the analytics because the analytics actually said when they had scored 23, that's when he needed to go for two. It will tell you that in that last instance that he should have kicked the extra point. Because it gave them a better chance to win the game. That's what the analytics actually said in that situation. But Harry's right. There's 42 seconds left on the clock. We don't even know if you're going to overtime if you kick the extra point because Aaron Rodgers still has plenty of time with a timeout, I believe, to still score and win the game.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, 51%, though, is what it said on that last play. So it's basically a toss-up. The key is what Harry pointed out. They should have done it, what you pointed out as well, George. They should have done it on the play before so that then they could have made decisions on that last drive based on whether they had hit for it or not. The issue is 17 players on IR, 5 players lost to COVID, 5 players inactive, 6 of their 7 best cornerbacks not on the field by the end of that game, and they had scored 30 points against the Packers to that point. If you give me all of those numbers, whether you call them analytics or not, I'm going to tell you I feel better about giving my guys a shot to win the game than I do about stopping Aaron Rodgers in regulation or in overtime. It was a fine call. It was a bad play call that cut off half.
Oh, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part where everybody.
Give me a better play.
I agree with the decision. I disagree with the play call.
Hey, not a monolith. Not a monolith. Good call, bad play.
Israel, how about you?
It's a classic Michael Scott win-loss-win situation, right? In the moment, you're all happy, your team's happy, yeah, we're going for this. You actually lose the game, but afterward, everybody's championing Harbaugh saying, hey, man, you got the guts to go for it, we love you, that's another win. But what I would say is, to Sarah's point, like, maybe the analytics people in the Ravens should say, hey, look for somebody other than Mark Andrews on that two-point conversion because there are other people open like Hollywood Brown was in the back of that end zone, and they're 2 for 8 on two-point conversions this year. So it just kind of makes you think, yeah, the decision's right, but maybe the play calling, maybe you, the quarterback whisperer that you have needs to whisper, hey, someone else is
open. You're playing a really good team, though. Packers are the one team who clinched yesterday. Everybody else had a chance. Nobody could do it. So congratulations, Green Bay. You're better than the Lions, Bears, and Vikings. Near-perfect game from Aaron Rodgers. They seem to really savor that at the end. Let me ask you a question, Sarah. Did that maybe look like an MVP celebrating a change of heart and wanting to stay with a team that has the best record in football right now?
I'll give you half of it. It sure looks like an MVP candidate. He's got numbers in the top of all the categories, and he's got a team that's actually clinching when they have the opportunity. The worst thing to think about as a Bears fan and as someone who has watched Aaron Rodgers over and over is that he succeeded a Hall of Famer, and he is now a Hall of Famer who has as many touchdown passes with 193 fewer interceptions than Brett Favre had, which is a mind-blowing statistic. That's unbelievable. I don't know if he's going to stick around. He could be the source of Dino Rossini's reporting that no matter whether they win the Super Bowl or not, he's gone, because he just wants to keep people guessing. He could be saying things like, oh, we got to savor this, because he wants protect a legacy of a guy who often wins a division and can't finish it off with a Super Bowl, and wants to remind you that repeatedly winning the division is a good thing. Or he might be doing that because he wants you to think, oh, he's savoring it because he's leaving. And then when he comes back, we all have to celebrate because we really got nervous he was going to go. If you tell me you know what he's thinking, you're lying. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Not even him, probably.
Well, I don't think anyone knows, but he has been fairly consistent about this. This isn't him revealing one time after a question about the COVID situation. He's been straight up about this pretty regularly, on top of the fact that he was just asked this. Not only is there Diana Rossini's reporting, but there was the situation where Pat McAfee asked him straight up about it, basically. And he's like, I like playing ball, man. Like, he's not committing to the Packers for a reason.
All right, let's have the more real conversation about whether he is the most valuable player this year. Harry Lyles, you want to start there?
He is. Yes.
I think that he is, yeah, right now. I think you have to look at what he's done and say that he is the MVP. I will say this. I think if Diana Rossini has reported something, it's usually probably true. So let's give her credit there.
And okay, also, I'll have her on the show. That is Harry Lyles. Israel Gutierrez, is Aaron Rodgers MVP right now?
I believe he is. He's been the most consistent of anybody that we've talked about as the MVP candidate. And I do believe that this is, to him, what this was supposed to look like. He was supposed to dominate. He's supposed to say all the right things, but in the end would still leave. It wasn't like it was supposed to create a Kobe Shaq situation. And like
Green Bay has three losses. One of the losses in the game he didn't play. It proves his value even more. Although I'm going to throw out one more MVP candidate, and this might be something no one else has done in the history of the sport. Getting Bill Belichick to say, I'm sorry to the media. That's what Jonathan Taylor did. We'll talk about that by herself.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
What is wrong with the Arizona Cardinals? Another team that couldn't clinch this week. Last month, they were winning games with Kyler Murray out and Colt McCoy starting. Yesterday, with Kyler Murray starting, they're losing to Detroit. and they were never in it. Here's Murray after the game.
No, not at all. This isn't nowhere near what we were last year. And we're not going to allow it to be so.
George, any concern that this year's Cardinals might be last year's Cardinals?
A high level of concern, albeit they seem to be already in the playoff mix, as we already know, and probably will make the postseason. But Kyler Murray only has 3 touchdowns and 5 interceptions since he's returned from injury. His yards per attempt are down. His completion percentage is down. And defensively, they gave up 12 and a half minutes of time of possession in the first quarter alone. Even the defense is regressing.
Yeah, I mean, the swoon looks similar, and you never want to finish out a season looking significantly worse, but that 10-win buffer they gave themselves automatically means this isn't going to be like last year, but it could be a trend that needs to be addressed, especially in coaching.
Oh, you put this on Kingsbury. Israel, when you're watching the Cardinals.
Not just Kyler. Kyler Murray has regressed, and then Kingsbury. This is a theme now.
Israel, is this about the offense, the defense, the coaching, or nothing to worry about?
No, it's about a lot of things. You got Kyler Murray over his last 4 games, last in the league among QBs in red zone QBR and completion percentage. And you talk about a defense that doesn't seem to be heading, going in the right direction. And you have a coach who literally has not been there before and has this sort of track record going into the second half of the season. I think there's plenty to be concerned. Kyler not being concerned is because a lot of it is on him. He can fix that. I'm not so sure about the rest.
Ari Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I agree with Izzy. I think it's a lot of things. I think, obviously, you need to see if Kyler Murray's going to get back to the level of play that he had. I think also we're seeing the true value of DeAndre Hopkins, probably the best wide receiver in the NFL. And then defensively, you know, since J.J. Watt's injury, this defense is 18th in EPA in the NFL, which is a regression for them. I think this is going to come down to us seeing what kind of a coach Cliff Kingsbury really is.
It doesn't get easier for them. They've got Indianapolis, one of the hottest teams in football next week. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Worst spot in the NFL this week, if not, I mean, in a long time. Those lines in the field, I wish they could use them to help them set the spot. I mean, yeah. And the measurement here, I mean, this was befuddling as well, but since everybody knew the initial spot was terrible, nobody even cared. How the Steelers are back in it, how the Titans are shaky. Sarah, what to buy, what to sell?
Yeah, the problem with that is you can't make a makeup call on the same play. If you got a bad spot, you can't fix it by then trying to gaslight us on what we're all looking at, which was a first down. The Titans are so inconsistent. They kept turning the ball over. The Steelers are not very good, yet somehow winning close games. I don't know that I would be that afraid of either of them, but I'd certainly rather have the Titans at their peak than the Steelers.
Is it real?
So what you're saying, Tony, is you want more lines on the field, right? So maybe like every foot or every inch even, because that way, how can we mess that up? I'm a proponent of that. I also believe that, you know, we just talked about the Cardinals and not having been there before, not having the personnel or the coach who have done. This is exactly what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers do. They find a way to stay relevant in each game, therefore finding a way to stay relevant in this season. And it's like that close between them being a terrible team and them being a
Ari Lyles.
I'm buying that we gotta do better than this. I mean, don't they love kind of doing the whole thing at the end of the game where they're like, yeah, New York is calling in, you know, with whatever. Like, it's gotta be better than that. I also think that I am buying that the Titans are down bad, but they still have room to still kind of be a contender if Derrick Henry still has this accelerated timeline on his injury and is able to get back.
George Sedano.
Tony, I'm buying that the Steelers are good in close games. They've won 7 this year and the most over the last 5, but I'm selling them as a contender, and I'm selling the Titans as a contender here because the Steelers only had 20 minutes of time of possession in this game. And it goes to show you how bad the Titans are without Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones that they couldn't win a game with 40 minutes of time of possession.
If they would have won, they would have been the overall 1 seed. They lost, and you got to tell me they're looking terrible. And just so we're clear here, Israel, I don't want more lines in the field. I want a microchip in the ball. How do we not have our brightest minds in the country? Get me a microchip in the ball, and let's go around that horn. Buy or sell 3, the loss so frustrating, Bill Belichick apologized to the media. Roll tape.
Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, it seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. It's not your fault.
Indy's Jonathan Taylor, smash mouth win. Mac Jones had the interceptions. New England's first loss in 2 months, Israel. What are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm buying that he's been humbled a little bit, Bill Belichick, here by the Colts, essentially beating him at his own game. Carson Wentz only threw the ball 12 times, and they still dominated you. So I think he needed to sort of reel it in.
Ari Lyles?
I'm buying that Bill Belichick is playing a game with all of us, but I'm also buying that Jonathan Taylor is a legitimate MVP candidate and we need to act like it. He has 11 consecutive games with a touchdown. That is the longest amount of touchdowns consecutively in a game since LaDainian Tomlinson had 18 from 2004 to 2005. He should be in the conversation.
All right, but you know that is a banned phrase now because we're in the conversation, Harry. Welcome to the conversation.
Stop it.
Tony, I'm buying Jonathan Taylor as an MVP candidate. 48% of his yards against an eight-man front. So Bill did everything he could to try to stop him. And I'm also buying that Belichick got out Belichick. So he realized it got to him a little bit and wanted to be humble.
I'm buying, just for some reason, Mac Jones in a Mr. Rogers cardigan, sitting Bill down and telling him we all have to be accountable, you too. And somehow, some way, him growing, just like we all can. Bill's just showing us that you can evolve, even as an older guy.
Turnover on downs. We're going this way. Gutierrez, Lyles, that's it. Sedano in Spate. Sarah, what is that sweater you're wearing? Have a Holly Dolly Christmas? Oh, I love it, yes.
Shout out. Person of the year, Dolly Parton.
No doubt.
Every
Next.
Year. Come on now.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Sedano in Spain, scintillating showdown. John Daly and his son, John Daly II, winning the PNC. Daly II is a freshman at Arkansas. His father's got to get ready to get in that sleigh in 5 days. So a big week for the Dalys. And in second place, thanks to an incredible 11 straight birdies, Tiger and Charlie Woods. Charlie is just 12. George, is the headline here how sweet it is to see father and child play together, or how soon Charlie will be competing and winning on tour?
Tony, I think everyone felt that, you know, it was good to see Tiger just walking, right, and being part of an event, but it's definitely Charlie. I'm going to personalize this. You know how many texts I got from people saying I would lose to a 12-year-old by a lot?
Sarah?
It's the buried headline, which is that Charlie Woods is a trash talker who writes notes to opponents and leaves them at the holes after he's gone for them to find. This guy is already in people's heads and he's 12. I love it.
I did not see that. That is an incredible nugget there from Spain. That'll get you the FaceTime.
Happy holidays, everyone. I know it's a popular time for proposals, and I have just one tip for you, and that is that when you decide to propose, both you and your partner should be there. Unlike the guy at the Jets-Dolphins game who paid presumably a lot of money to be up on the big scoreboard, they show it, they cut to the lady, and she is all alone looking around. Where is he? Probably went to get some nachos. It all worked out. She said yes, but I would suggest both being there. It's a good moment.
Yes, of course. As somebody who proposed in between the men's and women's
giving
bathroom
her time to think.
At LaGuardia Airport.
Of course.
Any proposal is a good proposal. End of the year. Big news here at Around the Horn. Roll tape. Wednesday, the Around the Horn Tournament of Champions.
Ooh.
Yes, the wins leader, the shows leader, the mutes leader. Everybody is still in the hunt. Like the NFL.
Ow, that's so nice.
In the hunt.
Where's my name? What the heck?
Happy Hour is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly.